Hundreds of people were arrested over the weekend during protests in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, St. Paul, Minnesota, and a number of other major cities around the country following the police shooting deaths of two black men last week, just the latest in a string of similar incidents that have gotten national attention. On Tuesday, Alton Sterling was shot and killed in Baton Rouge. He was selling CDs outside a convenience store when police responded to a 911 call alerting them to a man with a gun. Two officers pinned Sterling to the ground, and then at least one of them shot him.
They shot him?
The next day, Philando Castile was shot in Falcon Heights, Minnesota, after being pulled over. His girlfriend said he was stopped for a broken taillight. She streamed the immediate aftermath of the shooting on Facebook Live.
Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot four bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
And as we know, that incident was followed the very next day by what happened in Dallas. Five police officers killed and seven others injured, along with two civilians at a Black Lives Matter demonstration. Well, it has been nearly 2 years since Black Lives Matter became a real national presence, with major protests in Ferguson, Missouri.
You must disperse immediately. Now, this is an order. Subject to arrest and other actions.
That was in August 2014, after a black 18-year-old named Michael Brown, who was unarmed, was shot and killed by a white police officer. His killing sparked weeks of protests and unrest in Ferguson and around the country. At the time, we spoke to a St. Louis DJ, Boogie D, about what he was hearing from people in the community.
The protesters want a lot of things to happen. First and foremost, they want Officer Wilson charged for murder of Michael Brown. The second part of the conversation is people now want to say, what are we going to do? Because this is the situation that led to why everybody's out in the streets now, is they're just tired of dealing with these police departments.
Well, in November of 2014, a grand jury decided not to indict Officer Darren Wilson for murder, and riots broke out in Ferguson. The next morning, I met up with Terry Willits at a ConocoPhillips gas station on a street that was still smoldering. The station had been destroyed, though the gas pumps were still intact. I asked her if she was surprised at what had happened.
It doesn't surprise me. I think everybody made it clear that this was the way they were going to get their message out. And, you know, I'm all about getting your message to the people, but it's hurting them now.
A month before Michael Brown was killed, there was Eric Garner. New York police approached Garner on a sidewalk in Staten Island in July of 2014 for apparently selling loose cigarettes illegally. One of the officers, Daniel Pantaleo, put Garner in a chokehold, a maneuver banned by the NYPD. And as police held him down, Garner kept telling them over and over, "I can't breathe," which you can hear on a recording taken by a bystander.
Put your hand behind your back.
Garner did not get the medical help he needed, and he died a short time later. A grand jury decided not to indict Officer Pantaleo. "I can't breathe" became a protest slogan. Then, in November 2014, there was Tamir Rice. Rice was just 12 years old, and he was playing with a toy gun at a park in Cleveland when someone at the park called 911 to report a man with a gun. Police officers arrived on scene, and within seconds, they opened fire, killing Tamir Rice. 5 months later, we spoke to Rice's mother, Samaria, about her son's death and the killings of other black Americans by police.
You know, I don't want to really think that is racism, but, you know, I just keep seeing the same thing over and over again, and I'm wondering, where are they getting these officers from? Like, where are they coming from? I mean, are they passing a test?
In December 2015, a year after Rice's death, prosecutor Tim McGinty announced that no charges would be filed against the officers. He called the shooting a perfect storm of human error, but said no crime had been committed.
The Supreme Court instructs us to judge an officer's conduct by what he or she knew at the moment, not by what was learned later. We are instructed to ask what a reasonable police officer with the knowledge he had would do in this particular situation. The Supreme Court prohibits second-guessing police tactics with 20/20 hindsight.
After that announcement, we got reaction from Walter Madison, an attorney for Rice's father.
Very disappointed. My disappointment largely for Tamir's father and his grandmother. These are human beings who lost a 12-year-old child, and the timing of this news during the supposed most joyous and peaceful time of the year is very disturbing.
Rice's family later settled a wrongful death suit against the city of Cleveland for $6 million. In that settlement, the city did not acknowledge fault for Rice's death. Less than 6 months later, there was Walter Scott, who was pulled over in North Charleston, South Carolina, for a broken brake light. After he was stopped, he got out of his car and started to run away. That's when Officer Michael Slager shot him 8 times. Here's Slager calling the incident into the police dispatcher.
2:23, dispatch, shots fired. Subject is down. You grab my taser.
Slager was eventually charged with murder after a bystander video came out that showed him shooting Scott in the back as Scott was running away. I spoke with Al Cannon, the Charleston County Sheriff, later about the shooting.
Well, I think events around the country have certainly put us to the task of looking at what we do and how we do it and making some adjustments in terms of how we interact with the community.
Officer Slager is currently awaiting trial. The same month Walter Scott was shot and killed, April of last year, 25-year-old Freddie Gray was arrested in Baltimore for having an illegal switchblade. He was handcuffed and put in the back of a police van. A week later, he was dead from a severe spinal cord injury that he apparently sustained in that police van. Gray's death set off major protests in Baltimore. And less than a month later, State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby made this announcement.
The findings of our comprehensive, thorough, and independent investigation, coupled with the medical examiner's determination that Mr. Gray's death was a homicide, which we received today, has led us to believe that we have probable cause to file criminal charges. Yes! Yes!
Her office filed charges against 6 police officers, and since then, 2 of those officers have been acquitted. A 3rd trial ended in a hung jury, and a 4th officer is on trial right now. Then, a couple months after Freddie Gray, there was 28-year-old Sandra Bland. A Texas state trooper pulled her over for allegedly changing lanes without using her turn signal. Dashcam video of the stop shows the interaction between her and Officer Brian Encinia escalating quickly after the officer asked Bland to put out her cigarette and she refused.
Get out of the car now!
Why am I being apprehended? You're trying to give me a ticket for your failure?
I said get out of the car.
Why am I being apprehended?
You just I'm giving you a lawful order. I'm going to drag you out of here.
So you're going to drag me out of my own car?
Get out of the car! Right.
And then you
I will light
me?
You up! Get out!
Wow!
Now!
Wow.
Get out of the car.
Really, for a failure to signal. You're doing all of this for
get
a failure
over
to
there.
Right, yeah.
Officer Encinia arrested Bland for assaulting him, and 3 days later she was found dead, hanging in her cell. The county coroner classified her death a suicide. But her family, friends, and many activists around the country still have a lot of questions about what really happened and say she should never have been arrested in the first place. The officer who pulled her over was fired, but he was not charged. Neither was anyone else. And then in November of last year, Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke was charged with first-degree murder in the 2014 shooting death of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald. Van Dyke shot McDonald 16 times within seconds of getting out of his police car as McDonald was walking away from him. The officer was only charged 13 months later, on the same day that a graphic dashcam video of the shooting was made public. Van Dyke is currently awaiting trial. And in December, Attorney General Loretta Lynch announced an even broader federal investigation.
Today, I'm here to announce that the Department of Justice has opened an investigation into whether the Chicago Police Department has engaged in a pattern or practice of violations of the Constitution or federal law. Specifically, we will examine a number of issues related to the Chicago Police Department's use of force, including its use of deadly force, racial, ethnic, and other disparities in its use of force, and its accountability mechanisms.
Attorney General Loretta Lynch speaking there, and those are just some of the more well-known cases of Black Americans who have been killed by police in the last couple of years. In fact, according to a Washington Post database, 115 Black men are known to have been shot and killed by police this year alone.